on that day, proclaims Isaiah, everything will be different. On that day, creatures who were predator and prey will share the same resting place. On that day, a child will lead them, not a warrior king or ruling tyrant, but a child. And on that day, the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. That which was a threat is no longer a threat. That which posed danger will no longer pose danger. The world will be righted, and on that day when the root of Jesse, Jesse being the father of the beloved King David, takes place, on that day, when one tracing his lineage is born to rule, all these things will take place. And we Christians believe this one, this shoot from the stump of Jesse, is Jesus. And yet, these things have not come to be. The world in so many ways is much the same as it was when Isaiah made this prediction about a peaceable kingdom. So what has happened? Did Isaiah get his prediction wrong? Or have we just misunderstood? Or is it possible that the time Isaiah looks so forward to is still working itself out? Maybe there's more to the working out of the writing of the world than just the birth of the root of Jesse. Perhaps there is something to the knowledge of the Lord. Perhaps the knowledge of the Lord is necessary. Perhaps the word of John the Baptist still have something to say to us today. The good and faithful people near the regions of the Jordan River had grown weary of waiting for a Messiah. They had been expecting a Savior for as long as any could remember. King David's rule had come to an end centuries ago. That kingdom that was never to have ended, ended long, long ago. The temple was in a shambles. The leaders weren't terribly interested in anyone coming in who might shake up their status quo. They had that religion thing pretty well nailed down, and they liked it just the way it was. The people, though, were weary. Nothing seemed to go as they had expected. There hadn't been a prophet, and who knows when. They went through all the motions of following the requirements of their faith, but in reality, their faith was shallow. Going through motions, checking off laws fulfilled, doesn't really do much to help one know the Lord. And then, out of nowhere, actually out of somewhere really important, came this wild man. He came from the desert, the wilderness, a place known to be inhabited by demons and other spirits, which could threaten a person's sanity. He certainly looked like his sanity had been threatened. The jury was still out on whether this bushy man in camel's hair was a prophet of old or a raving lunatic. And John didn't care what people thought of him. He knew his place. He knew what he was sent to do, and he didn't mince his words as he went about his ministry. John, who was baptizing in the Jordan River, knew his role was to straighten the people out, to call them to turn around and look for the one who would come, the long-awaited one. "Repent," he cried out, "for the kingdom of heaven has come near." "How is that?" the people asked. "What do you mean, the kingdom of heaven has come near? How do you know? Who are you anyway? Are you the one we've been waiting for? The Messiah? Or are you a prophet like Isaiah, who predicted that the world as we know it would be changed?" As the people made their way to John, trying to pay attention to what John was saying, they went to be baptized as a sign of their intent to turn their lives around, to get back on the right track, to re-engage in their relationship with God. And things were going pretty well with that until John looked up from the middle of the murky waters of the river and saw some Pharisees and Sadducees heading in the direction of the river. And this set John off and good. He cried out to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bear fruit worthy of repentance." Actually, what John yelled out was much harsher to the ears of the temple leaders than "you brood of vipers" is to our ears today. I will not repeat the vernacular translation today, since this is a sermon, but I'm sure your imaginations can work it out. The eyes of the folks of the river grew wide, and an audible gasp went up from the newly baptized. Nobody called out the Pharisees and Sadducees. Nobody! But this strange man didn't seem to be the least bit concerned about how they would react. He just kept going, telling them that their heritage was not enough. Claiming to be the sons of Abraham did not guarantee them anything. Bear fruits worthy of repentance, he said. Your actions matter, not just your birthright. Behave like you're God's children. Don't just use that as an excuse to behave in any way you choose. Now, this got the attention of the faithful on the banks of the Jordan River. He must be the one, they thought. No one else could speak to the leaders in this tone. No one but the long-awaited Messiah would have the courage and security to make these sorts of pronouncements to the Pharisees and Sadducees. And as the people were muttering and pondering, John continued, "One who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals." John's role was to point to another, the one predicted by Isaiah, the one in whom everything would be made new. John's role was to help the people's eyes be open so they would be able to see the one who would come and move among them. John's role was to get the attention of the people and call them to turn around, to look for God, to realize that their actions matter. John came out of the wilderness to clear the way in the hearts of the people so that when the Messiah was in their midst, they could respond. "Repent," John cried out. "Turn around. Do not keep going on the same path you've been going on. That path is away from God. Do an about face. Turn toward God. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Let your actions reflect that you have turned toward God." And once again, we are here waiting for a Messiah. Once again, we are in need of a Savior. But before the world can be that peaceable kingdom predicted by Isaiah, we must take seriously the call to turn around, to stop heading in a direction clearly away from God. Once again, we are in need of the words from the wild man in the wilderness, calling us back, reminding us that saying we are followers of Jesus does not give us any more credibility than those folks on the banks feeling smug that they had the lineage of Abraham. John, I believe, would say to us today, God can raise up Christians from these rocks. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Let your lives, your actions, and all that you say and do reflect that you are truly followers of the one who came to usher in a peaceable kingdom. Amen.